T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So, as we mentioned earlier, no NBA action tonight. Game number 5 tomorrow, Toronto at Milwaukee. No Stanley Cup Finals action till Monday. That is the St. Louis Blues, who are facing the Boston Bruins. And St. Louis hadn't been in the Stanley Cup Finals since 1970, and ironically enough, against the Boston Bruins.
It's kind of poetic, mm-hmm. I guess you could say, that these two teams are facing off again. And what it was... a very bizarre NHL season.
Yeah. I mean, all the good teams are, you know, during the regular season got knocked out in the first round or the second round, and attrition ended up winning before all said and done. Mm-hmm. But without having any action tonight, you know, you would have to go watch the Detroit Tigers, I guess, to feel any love, huh? You're just a Lions fan, right?
I'm just a Lions fan.
All right. So we like football. Is that fair? Do you want to see a spring league make it to give us some football feel during the summer? Is that an overreaction right after the Super Bowl? We need a spring league because football's over, and you have that, and then 3 weeks later you go, well, maybe we don't need spring football.
I always view football as a meal that I have for the first time that I can't get enough of. You eat it and you eat it, you eat it. And you need a little bit of break before you can keep going at it, you know? And I feel like the problem with every spring football league is that they start immediately after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, I think they're trying to take the jump, but we all have that, oh, God, no more football. Like, I paid attention to the Alliance of American Football that opening weekend right after the Super Bowl. Just see what, 8 weeks later, it's gone. So my point being, do you want to see a spring league survive, and do you think the XFL has that opportunity? Because they announced their final head coaching position for the 8-team league earlier this week, and it's going to be June Jones, who coached, obviously, the Atlanta Falcons, SMU, Hawaii, and... You know, we thought, wow, with Steve Spurrier and some of these guys in the AAF, it will make it. But here are the 8 coaches now that are announced for the XFL. Kevin Gilbride's the head coach of the New York franchise. Now, wasn't Gilbride the guy that, what was it, Buddy Ryan went after on the sideline that time for being an idiot as an offensive coordinator? But Kevin Gilbride, and he's got NFL DNA in him, head coach at New York, Pep Hamilton. His mm-hmm. first head coaching job, he came as what, defensive coordinator from Michigan, I believe it was. I don't know who Jonathan Hayes is. He's the head coach at St. Louis. I remember Winston Moss. He's the head coach at of Los Angeles. Bob Stoops at Dallas, obviously. We know who that is. Jim Zorn at Seattle. Do you remember him? He was a left-handed quarterback when the Seattle Seahawks were given a franchise. He played for the better part of a 10-12-year period. Mm. God, who was the – he had a receiver that – I mean, man, they were tough to stop. Mark Trestman, who has DNA from the NFL, he's the head coach at Tampa Bay. So, Mike, you know, you add June Jones in the mix, who's been a NFL head coach as well. Does that sound like coaches that could help this league survive? Because the one thing we know about the XFL is compared to the Alliance of American Football, they will be funded well to make it through their first couple of seasons. I'm telling you, he hasn't sold $262 million of his own personal stock in WWE to go fail at this level again. I think when it comes to everyone involved, he just doesn't want to fail again. And Vince McMahon's been a successful businessman.
The XFL will succeed on 3 aspects. 3 things need to happen. 1, the coaches and the players need to come together to give a good product. Okay.
Yeah, one month of training camp in a city, and then with these teams like the AAF try to do it. Listen, they had to change the rules. You can only have five people, blitzing or things like that, just because there wasn't enough practice time. And I think ultimately, you saw it with the lack of offense in the league.
Exactly. Two, the management of individual teams needs to be apparent and kind of shown how their design's going to be for the cities, plus the expansions, but that will come later. And three, how Vince McMahon will be as a chairman. He needs to let one venture go. And this is my stance on this. He needs to let the WWE go, as in him being head of creative for WWE, to free up time for the XFL to make that league successful. If he does not do that, the XFL will fail.
That's it. I hadn't even thought of it in that manner. But here's the thing. You have to have real competition. You cannot manufacture storylines. You know what I mean? The public will not. And by that, I mean, what was it, week number two of the first venture of the XFL with the scramble for the football instead of a coin flip? Mm-hmm. Some dude broke his leg, I think.
Yeah.
You don't need that novelty. You know what I mean? Present yourself as what you are, is a professional football league, not a novelty, not sports entertainment. I don't mean to upset you or any of our wrestling is sports entertainment. And why? Because it's predetermined before they ever get out there how the match is going to end and, the way it's going to go. And it's great entertainment if you like wrestling, but it's not real sport. Those are real athletes. They've worked hard to get that physique and everything else. I'm not going to belittle them and say you're not a real athlete if you're a wrestler. But my point being, it's not real competition. It's for show. It's for entertainment. The XFL has to be about competition and product on the field. Secondly, like you said, make sure you get into training camp and get those offenses a little bit juiced up. Why? It's like in baseball. At the beginning of the year, pitchers are ahead of batters because their arms are fresh. And then as the year goes on and use and everything else, same thing to me in football. Defense is ahead of the offense earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. And then you see a scoring explosion like we saw. And then once you get to the playoffs and everything, then it goes back down. I mean, as evidenced by a 13-3 Super Bowl this year? It was, 6-3 at one point in the third quarter?
Yeah.
So that is not – Super Bowl – I don't mind it because those are two teams that are playing for the championship.
Those should be the two best teams.
I don't need that 13-3 game in week number two because my attention span's getting shorter and shorter. You know what I mean? I can see. We make fun of the millennials on it this, that. But I'm finding it as I get into my 50s, just my tolerance to watch something just to watch it's not quite what it used to be.
Would you be, happy if it was, a 21-17 game pretty much every week? I'm not saying that's the final score every week, but is in that capacity where maybe in the fourth quarter both teams go back-to-back touchdowns?
Yeah, show me competition. I mean, listen, even if it's that school two states over that I went to, so you don't get to do the elephant sound that Diesel does. We can be blowing somebody. I'm flipping the channel in the third quarter looking for something more competitive. I'm not that fan that wants to see and judge how our third string left tackle looks against Louisiana Lafayette. You know what I mean? I just, once it's out of hand, it's out of hand. I might flip it back just to get a score, update. But mm-hmm. once the competitive balance has shifted, even when my teams are involved, I'll go find something else to watch.
And for me, the XFL can succeed. It really can. But I will say this. I think Vince McMahon does need to let go one thing. If he wants it to be the best it can be, he needs to let go his creative position at WWE, because that was the first thing someone asked him when they did the XFL press conference that stuck with me was, how is this going to affect your day-to-day operations with WWE? And he says, nothing will change. The man is 78 years old?
Yeah, it's, when it comes to that, what is the storyline of WWE? It's good versus evil, protagonist versus antagonist. Let Triple H and Stephanie, I think they're actually really married, aren't they?
They are.
Let them run that, and you try to make this, like you made WWE, into a success, but you can't be on top of multiple things at once. Our boss here, who hope he made it to Kansas, because there's some bad weather that's been out there in that region the last couple of days. I mean, Hendricks, he absolutely amazes me how many tasks that he can juggle between being program director for four stations in a single day. I mean, you go back there and meet with him, and you don't see him, but there's literally bowling pins, you know, flying through the air as he juggles those things. I've always found, at least with me, if I concentrate on more than a couple of things, I don't do anything well. I do everything 75%. That can get you by, but you're never going to be a huge success.
No, exactly. And look, not to be so heavy with the wrestling prone, but Triple H and Stephanie have proven multiple times that they can run that side of the business. Let that business go. Focus on the operation that you failed at.
Yeah.
And that's what crawls at Vince McMahon. That's why he restarted this.
Right.
Because he failed.
He failed. And don't make it a gimmick or you're going to fail again.
Exactly. All right. I agree with you 100%.
All right. Do you follow Busted Coverage on Twitter?
I don't think I do.
You need to. All right. Look at this. It's the little things that get you. You're in this, you know, you to date, you have asked probably the most difficult question that you will ever ask until you have to answer something that your child, which is, will you marry me? All right. That's a difficult question. But would this, y'all will eventually, you know, purchase a home and this and that.
Yep.
And the other. Would this sign in Buffalo be enough for you to purchase a home? Across the top, it says free chicken wings with the purchase of a home.
Now, is that just one order of chicken wings? Because, look, I'm like,
I'm betting that's one order. Wait, come on. What are they going to do, back up a pickup truck of chicken wings to the house?
Well, no. Like, here's what I would want for this to be a closed deal, okay? Signed, secured deal. I would want 1 month of chicken wings for free.
Because where did they start the Anchor Bar in Buffalo? It was a cold night, and it was snowing. I guess they couldn't get home, and they were running out of food. And so the lady started cutting the chicken up, and that's how literally, chicken wings kind of hit the market.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's the Anchor Bar in Buffalo. But I'm sorry.
But if that's the final chicken wings every day for a month.
Okay, I could buy that. But if that's the final thing, you know, I like this house a little better, but we get free chicken wings since this one. Let's go that way. Come on, man. You saved that kind of money in a major league city, and that's going to be the final thing to push you over the tipping point? Hey, man.
Honey, this house is in a great location, $10,000 less. But the other one
has chicken wings. What's the one food? One food that would cause you to go, yep.
I don't want to admit it.
Pizza.
No.
Steak.
No.
Admit it.
Ramen.
Are you like good ramen?
Yeah, like the ramen. Remember I had that here? Like that stuff right there? Absolutely.
Well, I will tell you this much. My wife is a huge Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives fan. Guy Fieri was in this like real ramen place out in San Francisco, and how they make the noodles by, that's one of the wildest things I've ever seen. They took one thing of dough and it made like 30 strands by flipping it and all. I tell you what, there's talent. There's talent involved in it. But, you know, I can't help. When you say ramen, first thing that pops in my mind is crap I ate at the end of the month while waiting on some money for the parents in college for, you know, until
the stuff I still eat today.
Well, I can't do it anymore. I just can't do it. So I did it. I mean, dude, you're sitting there, you know, it's the 27th of the month. I've got four things of ramen and $6. Better find a way to make it work. But when we come back, we're going to have some fun, all right? We got a new campaign coming up for our sponsor, and we're going to tell you about him here in just a second. We're going to enjoy our guest on the other side.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
From the launcher online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
So you can follow me at Sturgis Sports on Twitter, at MacBrown22. And Patrick, let me ask you this before we go to the phone lines. What's your favorite thing at Smoke on the Water?
Well, first of all, the barbecue sauces are amazing.
Yep.
But my favorite thing to get there has to be the mac and cheese.
So what's bigger, being named National Coach of the Year in 1981, ACC Coach of the Year in 1981, one national championship, five ACC championships, one SEC Western Division championship? Let's bring on Coach Danny Board, former Clemson head coach. Coach Board, I hope you're doing well.
Youngster, I'm doing fine. I just wondered if you was mad at me or something, because, you know, you said about a year ago you was going to come out to the farm and do some fishing with me, and Dad Burnett, you ain't been out here.
You are correct. I cast a line with a couple of surgeries instead of in your pond. But, you know, Coach Board, we got a new advertising campaign headed for our sponsor, Smoke on the Water, and you asked to be part of it. Not, you know, when you make your way to the corner of Augusta, Maine, and you've been on with me down there in the bar area before, what's your best play call when it comes to Smoke on the Water?
Well, you got to start out. I mean, you got, if you go on Smoke on the Water, first of all, you're going to have a hard time picking something because everything's so dad-burned good. But I like to start off, you know, I'll start off with something like, one of my favorites, them barbecue, however you say that, them quesadillas. I get mine with smoked pork and barbecue sauce and them hot little peppers, you know, them jalapenos, and cheese. It's on that good old toasted bread with sour cream. I mean, that's a good starter right there, you know?
So let me ask you, I broadcast from your golf tournament back in the day, and you showed up with a PBR in your hand there. Do they let you actually bring your PBR into Smoke on the Water since you have such a legendary status?
Well, I'm not supposed to do that, but they don't, you know, sometimes they'll cut me a break and let me just sneak one in there, but I don't try to push it, if you know what I mean. But I'm going to tell you something. When you get down to it, I mean, like the main event at Smoke on the Water is getting something off of that smoker. I mean, because that boy gets there. He gets there so early in the morning firing up them hardwoods. I mean, he gets there before cow milking time. And a bunch of times I'll get me one of my favorite things out there is that beer butt chicken. Now, there's a lot of folks you can't call beer butt, but you can call a chicken beer butt all day long, and he won't swat at you. You know what I mean? I mean, but this taste is just like, I mean, it's like your taste buds just caught a 50-yard pass in the end zone. You know what I'm talking about?
Unfortunately for me, at 5'9", I would not know what it's like to catch a pass in the end zone. But, you know, what's the best part about happy hour, other than the fact it's not this wimpy five-day-a-week stuff? It's 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 4 to 7 p.m.
It's just something you can't beat because, I mean, And when I go to happy hour, I don't believe in getting there late. I come there at 4 o'clock sharp, and I'm there till 7 o'clock, and then the fun starts. And that's what, you know, that's what Smoke on the Water is all about. It's good times. It's good atmosphere out there. It's good friends. It's good people. And Lord have mercy, it's good eating. I mean, it's good.
No doubt. Now, for people that don't know, you're a 1966 graduate of Gadsden High School in Gadsden, Alabama, played under Paul Bear Bryant. But I guess some of you, you know, after winning the 1981 National Championship at Clemson, some of your success, some of your tips have rubbed off on Dabo Swinney as well, another Alabama grad.
Well, it seems like there's that tie-in with Alabama on just about everything, and I love Alabama, but you know, it's hard for me not to love both of them. I love Clemson and Bama, and I'm sure Coach Dabo does the same thing. Now, he's done got one up on me, and that's kind of made me mad. I told him, I said, if you win this this last year, I'm going to take you over to Smoke on the Water for some dessert over there because they got the best in the dadgum world. And I treated him to Jack Daniel's chocolate chip pecan pie. I mean, that just sounds good, don't it?
Yeah, especially always, with the Jack Daniel's in there.
I always tell them, throw in some extra Jack for me, youngster. And, I mean, you can't hardly beat it. And it's just a great place to be. And, yes, sir, me and Dabo, we talk sometimes, but He don't ask me for much advice, and I don't think he needs it. You know, I don't try to push myself off on him too bad, but he's a fine, very, 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 very nice youngster.
All right, before we let you go, I mean, give it to us whole hog, because all the accolades that you won as the national title, Coach of the Year in the ACC, to me, it all comes down to the whole hog. I think most impressive was your 1995 year in which Arkansas won the SEC West Championship. So that's bringing the hog there, Coach Board.
Yeah, I was a real hog that time out there in Arkansas, and had a good time. Wish we had pulled in a couple of better players and had just a little bit more wins and stuff. But I tell you, it was tough coming in there. And, you know, we kind of flip-flop coaches. You know, if you remember, Mr. Hatfield come to Clemson, and I come out to Arkansas, and we did a little flip-flopping. And but I had a good time out there. Ain't nothing better in whole dadgum world than coaching. And I had me a good time just everywhere I coached or assistant or anything else.
Well, Coach, always happy to have you on board promoting Smoke on the Water, and look forward to catching up with you down there real quickly sometime soon. And listen, just thanks for being part of the process and being part of the game, and thank you for everything you do, Coach Board.
Well, I tell you, it's always fun with you, Sturge, and let's you and me get together and head on over to Smoke on the Water one of these days here real soon.
Yeah, I think I know somebody over there that can take care of you. Well, Coach Board, look forward to talking to you here soon, and wish the best to all your family. And listen, don't get stuck out on that farm without the zapper button to let somebody know, because you know what? Glad everybody's back up on their feet and healthy again.
Well, I'm always – it's nice of you to talk to me, and it's been fun. And remember, Sturge, it's two things. It's up with Sturge or whatever you say. What's that thing you say about yourself?
Straight up.
Straight up with Sturge. And don't forget, Smoke on the Water is a sweet, saucy Southern Tavern. Yes, sir, buddy.
All right. Talk to you soon, Coach Board. Always appreciate you, and glad you're on board with us when it comes to Smoke on the Water. And, hey, Patrick, I mean, that's legendary right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to tweet a photo.
I don't care.
Absolutely in tears there a few minutes ago. Your head buried into the desk. But, no, Coach Danny Board. He's going to be espousing the virtues of Smoke on the Water. I think Coach Luce Bolts is going to be doing the same thing. But I reached out to him. I got the best halftime interview in sports. It's going to be part of our advertising campaign for Smoke on the Water.
I can't wait. You pronounce jalapenos jalapenos, and it was just a great time from there. That might have been one of the most interesting interviews I've been a part here at Intercom, and I've been here for 2 years. I don't think that's topping anytime soon.
So should we just stop the show, go home, and end it right here? Because it might not get any better than that today, regardless if we got Gary McDaniel from ClemsonSportsNews.com coming up.
It makes me want to, you know, get some mac and cheese now, but...
I got you on this one.
I'm trying to process everything that he said that was incorrect. not even like, you know, Grammarly, but like sentence structure. There were some things wrong. Okay.
That was next level. I left him speechless. I can't wait till Coach Loose Bolts calls in here in the coming
weeks. I don't need that. I don't need that in my life right now. Okay. Like, Frank Caliendo did Lou Holtz talking about Game of Thrones, and I couldn't do it. I stopped halfway because I couldn't focus because I drive with my little AirPods in normally just to get a phone call. You know, I have my AirPods in. I can focus on the road. I don't have to focus on the phone. Well, I had that podcast up where he's doing that voice, and I had to pull over on the side of the road because I was dying laughing so hard because I'm just like, he's saying everything I want to say about Game of Thrones, but in Lou Holtz's voice, which is just 10 times better.
All right. Listen, when we come back, you can get in touch with us at 844-GSP-ESPN. Let's continue some college football. We got Rivals recruiting rankings as well as broke down the ACC and the SEC when it comes to overall number of wins by the conference members during the last 5 years. But give us your thoughts on Coach Danny Board. We got a whole bunch of those coming to you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, don't forget the free cash dash contest is going on. Chance to win $1,000 12 times a day on Intercom Greenville and ESPN Upstate. Your 5 p.m. keyword is poem. How poetic was it? You can go follow me on Sturgis Sports. Go look at the picture that I just tweeted of Patrick during that last segment when Coach Board tried to say jalapeno. What did he say? Jalapeno? So, that's when you just buried your head in the desk and tried not to laugh and crack up. And, of course, some of y'all might know what that was all about. And we will, as we get closer to releasing these, we'll let you know what all's going on. But college, you know, college athletics is interesting. Getting back to a little bit of what we were talking about earlier, Patrick, you know, if people didn't hear it, St. Thomas College in Minnesota, a charter member of their conference back in 1920, has been involuntarily voted out of their conference by the other schools because they're too good in sports. Which it wasn't, hey man, y'all go raise your level of play. You know what it was? Let's just get them out so we don't have to deal with them anymore. And you know what? I maintain that's some of the wussification in America going on. So, can we make the same thing, same case, Patrick? You're a South Carolina fan. I went to a school in the SEC. Of course, we cover Clemson here. So if we're going to allow that to take place, and granted, it's a short sample size, should Clemson football be thrown out of the ACC? If it's about competitive balance, should Clemson football be thrown out of the ACC? And here's why I ask you that question. You can follow Patrick Brown at MacBrown22 on Twitter. Clemson, over the last 5 years, has won 65 ball games. All right? I know I went to not a private school, but I can figure that out. That's 13 wins per year over a 5-year period. That's impressive in college football. All right. But should Clemson be kicked out of the ACC? Because second during that time period, Patrick, Florida State with 45. That's 9 wins per season.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 4-game total per year. You know what I mean? From 13 to 9. All right. So is that an uncompetitive balance when Clemson has won the ACC 4 years in a row? Kicking everybody's tail, went down and beat Florida State in a way some guy went viral for sitting in the back of the end zone reading a novel while the beatdown was going on. You remember that? So if we're going to follow the rules of this MIAC and kick the leading teams out of the conference because they're too good and it's not a competitive balance, is 20 games over 5 years between Clemson and Florida State, can't you make the same case that that's not a competitive balance?
No, you can make that case all day long.
Here's how the ACC breaks down in win totals for the past 5 seasons in college football. Clemson's first, 65 wins. Florida State second, 45. Number 3, Miami, 40. Clemson's won 25 more football games in 5 years than the great U has. I mean, this defines uncompetitive balance, but do you think Florida State is going to ask for Clemson to get kicked out, Miami? No. To be the best, you got to do what? You got to beat the best. I don't know if that was an Apollo Creed or Muhammad Ali, but that was an old boxer's reference. You know what I mean? Now, NC State tied for 3rd with 40 wins. Virginia Tech's 5th with 39. Duke is 6th, 36. Louisville's 6th. With 36. Now, think about it. If Bobby Petrino had not screwed them, Louisville would probably be the second highest total here.
Yeah.
But what? 1-11? 1-what'd they go this year? 2-10, 1-11? No, I think they were 1-11. All right. Georgia Tech with 35, Pitt with 34, BC 31, North Carolina 30, Wake Forest 28, Syracuse 25, and Virginia 25. Now, go look, and Virginia's on their way up. Bronco Mendenhall. You know, when we walked out of ACC football kickoff last year, Bronco Mendenhall made news with this comment. I don't think we have 40 Division I football players on this team. Athlon has Virginia ranked number 25 in their preseason rankings. So that's a team on the rise. Same thing with Syracuse with Dino Babers. We'll see how much of a drop back. They lose a huge, huge player in their quarterback, who was a dual-threat quarterback. But Dino Babers has now got Syracuse going. So the two lowest on this, Syracuse and Virginia, with 25 wins apiece, guess what? They've challenged themselves to get better, and they have. Hell, Syracuse knocked off Clemson a couple of years ago. Virginia just shut out South Carolina. The score was 28-0, but Carolina should have put some points up. So my point being on this, if we're going to kick out St. Thomas College in Minnesota for uncompetitive balance, guess what? I think you can make the case for the Atlantic Coast Conference in football. Or you're a South Carolina fan. SEC football fans fancy their league is a little bit better than everybody else's, right? Then what are you going to do with Alabama? Because when we come back, we'll give you the rundown in numbers for the SEC for the last 5 years as well. And guess what? It's not close. That's why Clemson and Alabama right now are on a different level than anybody else. Don't forget, your 5 p.m. keyword is poem. You can text that into 72881. Somebody's winning $1,000. Why not you? Gary McDaniel from Clemson Sports News coming up at 6 p.m. Then a lot of other stuff to get into as well.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, so before we get into these SEC regular season schedules or totals and wins for the last 5 years, it's been a legendary day. Buddy of mine hit me up on text going, was that really Coach Ford? It's like, no, it was Coach Board. It's two totally different people. So he was dude. So I guess we have a legendary status for the 2020 NASCAR Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You said you just saw it. if Richard Petty's not in there and on there every year for the next 100 years, I don't want to hear who is, but who is going in the NASCAR Hall of Fame?
I'm going to go, you know, less relevant to most relevant, at least to most of the popular people or most of the general public. Waddle Wilson, Buddy Baker, mm-hmm. Bobby Labonte, mm-hmm. Coach Joe Gibbs, and Smoke Tony Stewart. Those are your five members in the 2020 class of the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
Where to go with this one? Because I don't want to upset Gray Sutherland or anybody else, but our NASCAR driver, we asked about, you know, wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those guys are athletes, you know what I mean? You have to work out and maintain that, you know, physique and things of that nature. The question used to be asked back in the day, were golfers athletes? You know, because you'd see, you know, as they got off the course, Fuzzy Zeller with a beer in one hand, a cigarette in the other, you know, and then Tiger Woods came along and he changed everything. So I think the same thing could be asked about NASCAR. You know, back in the day, were they athletes? But now, yeah. They're athletes because you have to be in shape to sit there. Oh, but they only turn left, you know, blah, blah. No, just to make it through that race without passing out due to the sweat and everything else requires a certain amount of athleticism.
Imagine you going, I'll put an example to Darlington, okay? Darlington has severe banking on one turn, less aggressive on the next. It takes about 2 to 3 G-forces on your body per turn. To put in perspective, you know, most, you know, of these, you know, the Air Force pilots and stuff like that, they experience 4 Gs during their flights. These guys are experiencing that every turn for 3 hours.
I mean, think about the movie Armageddon. You know, when they go take him up, we're going to push you higher, faster, harder than you've ever been pushed before. And then the guy, he's like hugging his pilot. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to throw up in your airplane, you know, and all that. That's not an untruthful representation of what it's like on your body the first time when you go up there and they put you through that. You're bended and turned in ways that you can never imagine. Mm-hmm. Now, back in the days of Buddy Baker and Bobby Labonte and Terry Labonte and Richard Petty and all, dude, they drove. That's what they did. I don't think they worked out to get in shape or anything. They just didn't know any better. They were drivers. You know what I mean? Now it's that athletic component, train, work out, keep your body fresh, keep your mind fresh. And you know what? I'll give them credit because it takes a lot to get that done.
No, I agree. And I think the modern-day NASCAR driver, I'll even go to the 90s, were really athletes.
Was it about Jeff Gordon, about that time when things – because I think of
About Jeff Gordon, Dale Jr.
Yeah, Dale Sr. was kind of the last true driver, you know what I mean? Yes, yeah. He was – but I remember him as being a driver, not necessarily one of the new kids on the block, if you will. So,
no, I agree with that.
All right, so listen, would you throw those guys out of NASCAR for being too successful back in the day?
No.
Yeah, because if you haven't heard of St. Thomas College in Minnesota being kicked out of their conference after 99 years as a charter member, why? Because they're too good in sports. So instead of charging and challenging the other 12 schools in the conference to get better, they're kicking this team out. And that's the wussification of America going on. Guess what? Same thing in the ACC. Clemson, 20 more wins than Florida State in the last 5 years, 25 more than third place Miami. If Clemson's that good, this is going to be the way that they go. Is ACC going to get rid of Clemson in football? Hell no, they're not. But what about the Southeastern Conference? Patrick, you're a Carolina fan. What would you do with Alabama at this point? 67 wins in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Second is Georgia with 52. That's 15. That's 3 wins per season difference between first place Bama and second place Georgia. Oh, yeah. Third place is LSU with 44. So that's LSU is a name. Matt Hogan. So proud of him getting his job with the Panthers and everything else. But he's an unabashed LSU fan. Mm-hmm. That's got to make him want to choke his tongue a little bit. As Bama's rival, they've won 23 more games in the last 5 years than the LSU Tigers have. Oh, yeah, 26 more than Auburn, that's your in-state rival. That's not competitive balance.
It's not, but at the same time, those numbers say one thing. We've seen something different. In the sense that you look at the Alabama-Georgia game from the SEC championship this year, you tell me how much of a difference there was between those two teams.
There was a backup quarterback that was able to come in and make a difference there at the end when Tua was hurting. And that's why I think a lot of I think a lot of these quarterbacks are missing the point on the transfer portal.
But no, that's exactly my point right there, is that it took a backup quarterback. Alabama didn't dominate. Alabama didn't run away with it. Alabama has been competitive, and they've won a lot of SEC championships as of recently, but they've also lost some SEC championships along the way. And the fact of the matter is, Clemson...
haven't lost an SEC championship game.
They haven't lost an SEC championship game.
But we lost a national championship game twice in the last 3 years.
But they have had some opportunity or had some chances where they weren't even invited to the championship game. So for me, it's different for the Clemson Tigers than Alabama, because Alabama has missed the championship game, you know, one time in the past 5 years, whereas Clemson has not, and they've run away with their division every single year.
Well, I mean, I'd love to be able to go back and, you know, real quickly during the top of the hour break and go, you know, how many close games did St. Thomas College in Minnesota have? Were they all 50-point beatdowns? You know, was it, you know, Church League basketball? But, all right, 1 year.
I'll do that research while you talk to
Gary McDaniel, Clemson Sports News. All right, but getting back to it, you want to talk about the yo-yo of my life and my athletic career. 1 year being on a championship church league team, moving up a division the next year and going winless. You know what? It happens. What goes up must come down. Some of the other numbers. Where does this make you feel as a South Carolina fan?
I don't want to know.
Last 5 years in college football, South Carolina has 32 wins. I mean, that's 35 games difference between Alabama. And listen, South Carolina shouldn't be in that position. That's why I say I agree with Josh Kendall on what we talked about yesterday. Carolina, their fan base needs a signature win. I mean, to the point that their baseball fan base needed to finally take that series over Clemson this year. You know what I mean? So, I agree. Will Muschamp's got one of those five. He's got to get a win in somehow to make this fan base feel better where they're headed for, because the 2020 schedule is going to be exponentially easier than this year's.
We talked about it yesterday, and I actually, you know, kind of when you sleep on it, you kind of, you know, just kind of go throughout and go, okay, this and this. I think South Carolina can beat Missouri. They can beat Kentucky. And then it's just a matter of time of which big-name SEC school are you going to beat as well. I think with a two-week break, you can beat Georgia. With the bye week, you can beat Georgia. I think you may have a shot against A&M. Maybe. But then Tennessee and Florida are going to be the two teams that you need to hammer the most on.
Yeah.
And if... by some miracle, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not that deranged South Carolina fan that every year I think we're going to beat Clemson. But if by some miracle we do play Clemson to the best of our ability and everything like that, and we do beat the Tigers, that I think is a major win as well. That's a major win that doesn't need to be an SEC win.
So, guy, it just shows you everybody has opinions on the text line. That didn't sound like Coach Ford. One person had 30. Dude, that was awesome. Okay.
I mean, everyone's a critic.
Yeah, but some people are just critical.
That's just the way it is nowadays.
Yep, no doubt about it. So, you know, everybody has their own opinion. All right, when we come back, Gary McDaniel from ClemsonSportsNews.com. He is going to catch us up. Tigers have an 11 a.m. Life or death situation, in my opinion, when it comes to any chance of making an NCAA baseball tournament. They have to beat Louisville tomorrow morning in Durham. So, anyway, we'll talk with Gary McDaniel from up there, catch up with Clemson. When we come back, back in the final hour. We'll give you the 6 p.m. keyword. We'll talk about the best basketball cities and continue with Rivals recruiting rankings as well.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.